Hello and welcome to the Primary Care Respiratory Society podcast series. I'm Catherine Hickman, Executive Chair of PCRS. Each podcast you will hear insightful topics, interviews, experiences and conversations around a plethora of respiratory themes, as well as actionable tips and strategies for you to use in your day-to-day practices. Thank you for joining us and we hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hello and welcome to this PCRS podcast. Today I'm going to be talking to Amanda, who's one of a patient with asthma, about how to undertake a really good asthma review. My name is Carol Stonham. I am a primary care nurse based in Gloucestershire and policy lead for PCRS. And Amanda, would you like to introduce yourself?
I would, except that you've, of course, told everybody who I am. I'm Amanda Roberts and I've had asthma all my life and I'm mega old now. So I've had lots of annual asthma reviews.
Excellent. So lots of experience and lots of tips to give us, I hope. So I think when we think about what is a good asthma review, we think about what we deliver as healthcare professionals. And I think we would, most of us, consider that what we do is a good job. But I think it's interesting to ask patients, are we doing a good job? Are we doing what adds value to them? Or is it our agenda that we're getting across? So Amanda, as you say, you've had lots of experience of routine asthma reviews. Can you just talk about some of the good experiences that you've had? We'll start off on the positive.
The good ones I've had, basically, they've started on time. I know that's really pathetic, but started on time. They've not taken too long and I've got out quickly. That's about as positive as I feel I've ever had. So I could tell you lots of negative things, but that's about all the positives.
So that's interesting that actually in a sort of a long lifetime, as you say, as a patient with asthma, that's the best you can come up with positive. And I think that says an awful lot about the care we're delivering without actually asking our patients what they think. So what about the negatives? Tell me a few of the negatives.
So I would say, when you say we, I'm certainly not aware that I've ever spoken to anybody within who's a member of PCRS, because I have a suspicion that my experience would have been very different. So I get to speak to the asthma nurse. The asthma nurse is one of usually three GP nurses. They could be doing any other job at any other time, but they've been nominated that day for asthma. It doesn't mean to say, or I don't get the impression that it means to say they know anything about asthma. And in fact, I've spoken to my GP about this through the patient participation group and said, you know, why do you call them an asthma nurse when they don't have any specialization in asthma? And so now they are just the practice nurse doing an asthma review. And I think that also tells you something. So it tends to be, honestly, it's somebody sat not in front of me, but to the side, usually with their back to a window. So the window's blaring out sunlight and you can't really see their face. And they are typing into a computer against what I suspect is one of these computerized tick boxes that have you done this, have you done that, put this answer in here, whatever. So they're just doing that and they are asking me the question. They're not really looking at me. They don't make me feel they would care who it was sat there or how the answers that I give, you know, it's just an answer. It's fine. They just type it in. I don't think they feel empowered. So, you know, they're not allowed to say to me, my goodness me, are you still alive and you're doing that? You know, it's down to the doctor. They'll give the stuff to the doctor and the doctor will, if he feels motivated, would ring me later, or if I don't hear anything, it's fine. I mean, that's as far as the responses go. It's really difficult for me to say, yeah, you know, this is what a good asthma review would look like. But honestly, what I'd really like is to be talking to somebody who knows about asthma, who is motivated and empowered to be able to say to me, oh, you know, I've never had my use of inhalers checked, for instance, and I'm sure I ought to have had, because I've been doing it a long time, and, you know, a lot of bad habits creep in. And also, I believe, because I have different inhalers for different things, and they have probably different techniques, but, you know, it's a bit difficult to remember which technique for which inhaler and so on and so on. And I just like to feel that it was a one-stop shop. So I go in, get checked out, the answer comes up, you know, saying this person should have a medication review. The medication review is done. And it's all one seamless process, basically, rather than me coming in and then waiting and then going in again and then waiting and so on. And do you know what? Because I'm really interested in research. Now, not everybody is, so I understand that. But I'd really like to hear from that asthma nurse about, oh, did you know, in this practice, we're doing this research on this. You might not be a good patient, but it's really, you know, we're doing blah, blah, blah. Because I always feel that if you're talking to a research active practice who is doing research onto your conditions, then even if it doesn't affect you, it means that everybody is more up to date who's dealing with asthma. So you have the chance of some kind of innovation, possibly leading into, you just get better care, I reckon. So, sorry, I've just spurted. Now, get back to the script. What would you like to really say?
No, I think that's really interesting. I think, as you say that not it doesn't happen in every practice, but I think the sad reality is that in a lot of practices, the designated asthma nurse, so say, doesn't have the right training, doesn't know about the condition, can't advise you. So if they come up against something that isn't right, they can't advise you, so they have to pass it on to somebody else. And I think that says an awful lot about the way services can be delivered and the difference that would make to you. If you were talking to somebody that was up to date, that was informed, that knew what was going on. So I think that is the sad reality. And there are a lot of practices where the asthma nurse, the hypertensionist, whatever, is very well trained, very confident and competent in what they do. And that probably leads to a very different patient experience. And I think the other thing that's quite interesting is, as you say, this sort of this tick box type mentality. So yes, you're right. The clinician is probably looking at a template which takes them through what has to be done for an asthma review. I'm not surprised that you haven't had your inhaler technique checked, because that isn't one of the tick boxes. So that may be what's causing that problem.
I'm absolutely sure.
Yeah, so what the tick box says, so what the information behind the tick box says is that the patient should have an asthma review with an appropriately trained clinician and should include elements such as personalised asthma action plan, inhaler technique, you know, education, those types of things. And I think we don't look at the detail of what we should be offering. So in actual fact, what you're calling an asthma review, if you were familiar with the computerised stuff, you could do that yourself, couldn't you? You could go through and tick all the boxes.
Well, in fact, I'm not sure I haven't done that for the last one. What happened was they just said that the practice just sent me a link and said, you know, fill in this form. I mean, I don't know, because it was the first time I filled it in. It might be exactly the same form as the nurse fills in. And so I filled it in, sent it back. And then I had a really peculiar interaction with a nurse rang me up from the practice and said, oh, the doctor's asked me to ring you because, you know, this isn't right. We need to change your medication. So then I said, oh, you know, what about this? What about that? And she said, oh, I don't know. I have to go back and ask someone what medication, because I'm on four puffs of Pulmicort 400 twice a day anyway. So it's quite a lot. But she should have known that already. Anyway, so I'll have to go and ask somebody. And so she said, I'll ring you back in 2 weeks. And then when she rang me back in 2 weeks, she still hadn't got an answer. So she then had to ring me back in another 2 weeks. I just thought, you know, this is not rocket science. And it felt like someone was just being, again, delegated downwards. Well, you ring this patient up. I'm not going to give you any power whatsoever to do anything or any knowledge to do anything, but just keep ringing her up.
And that could be very dangerous, because it could mean one of two things. It could mean your medication's changed inappropriately, or it could mean that you stay on the wrong medication for longer. So, you know, I think that's really bad practice. And I think the other thing, as healthcare professionals, we are really disrespectful of is our patients' time. And as you said, when you said about a good review, start on time. Sometimes that's not possible, but, you know, you don't need to be running too late. Don't take too long. Do it in a timely fashion. And then you're describing 6 or 7 interactions that probably could have been done in one interaction. So I think we are all very aware of our healthcare professional time because we're all very busy and we're all run off our feet. But actually, so are our patients. And is that the impression you get, that there's no sort of consideration for your time within all this?
Well, possibly. I mean, neither was there any consideration for this poor girl's time, to be honest. I mean, she was having to spend as much time as I was on the phone. I don't think I was being victimized or anything. But yes, timeliness has to be of benefit to. There must have been other things that this poor girl could have been doing. And so timeliness is important for both sides of the conversation, to be honest. And also it does feel like, well, if I'm going to ring you back in 2 weeks, then it's not really very important. You know, so I don't need to make clear time in my diary for this. You could just send me a text or some. I'm perhaps being a bit flippant. I don't know that I'd want to be told by text that you're changing my medication. But equally, you know, it just feels right. Well, if it's 2 weeks, does it really matter? Who cares?
Yeah, it sort of plays down the importance of the whole situation, doesn't it?
Mm.
So when from a healthcare professional point of view, when we do an asthma review, there are boxes we have to tick, as I say. So, you know, we should be checking that with our patient does indeed have asthma. We should be thinking about their symptom control. We should be thinking about their inhaler technique. But there are things we need to do above and beyond the tick box, which probably offer more value to patients. So I'm really bad at filling in my tick boxes while I'm talking to my patients, because I like to have a conversation with the person. And then when they're gone, I can translate that into the tick boxes, which I think is a better way to do it. Some would disagree. So the things I think are really important when I see a person with asthma, no matter how long they've had it, is the first thing I say to them is, has anybody taken the time to explain to you what asthma is and what your treatment does? And I would say 90 or 95% of patients say no, or, well, they might have done, but I've forgotten. So we take a couple of minutes to go through that and then build from that around their symptom control, around their inhaler technique, whether they've got a personalized asthma action plan, if they have, whether it needs updating, if they haven't, whether we need to start that type of thing. So it tends to be more conversational. When you've had your asthma reviews done, it doesn't sound like you've sort of been through that process. It seems like it's been much more of a, have you got this? Yes. Have you got this? Yes. And as you say, if there's a negative answer or something that doesn't fit, nothing's happening about it.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And the other thing that, you know, I mean, because I've been doing it so long, you'd think they'd look back at the notes. I have to use a child's, that thing you blow into and the thing
peak flow meter.
Yes, peak flow. Yeah. I have to use a child's one because I don't have heaps of capacity in my lungs. It's not that I'm not willing to push hard, but I just don't have it. So it registers around the 100 mark, which is, you know, I can do everything with that 100. I don't feel poorly most of the time and everything else. But, you know, there's always a kind of, here, have an adult one. And then when there's, why doesn't someone somewhere flag it as, oh, this one needs, you know, needs a child. Things like that.
And I think you would, if that was more of a conversational review rather than that tick box, I think that would come out, because, you know, you'd have that conversation. So as a healthcare professional, the things I would like to see in asthma reviews are that, yes, we do the tick box stuff, because most of those are quite important and think about control, but it's how we do it. And I think we need to think about being more patient. We all talk about patient-centered care, but I'm not sure that we actually manage to do that very often. So I think it's more around, okay, so patient-centered care, thinking about the person sitting in front of us, thinking about that educational element, because at the end of the day, you're spending quite a lot of time on and off with your healthcare professionals due to their inefficiency. But normally we see somebody for 20 minutes a year, and they've got to get on with it for the rest of the year. Thinking about making sure that we personalize whatever we're saying to the patient in front of us. So as you say, if they need a child-sized peak flow meter, then, you know, if that's appropriate, that's the thing that you do. And then thinking about how we make sure that the patient is as symptom-free as we can make them, and if they're not, we make those changes. So those are my sort of priorities. As a patient, what would make an asthma review valuable and worthwhile and worth your time?
Well, obviously, you know, what I'd like to know is that I'm as well as I can be and doing as well as I can be, and it being acknowledged that I'm being, what's the word you use, compliant, and all those other things that, you know, I'm trying to be a good girl. I'd like to know where, in which direction I'm heading, because, you know, as you get old, I realize you see people from all ages, but as I get older, I realize that actually I'm likely to in some way not be able to manage as much as I can do. So, you know, where are we going, what we're doing, when I should come back and say, you know, it's not going all right. And I would really like, and I know it's not always easy, but I'd really like to feel that I was building up a relationship. I don't want to get married to them, but I do want, you know, I do kind of feel I would like to always talk to the same person so that they get my measure, I get their measure, and I feel that I'm a real human being to them, not just, you know, just another one of those things they do during the working day. And again, I realize there's a changeover of staff. There's all sorts of reasons why that might not be appropriate. But it does seem to me it would be really nice to have some kind of relationship.
Yeah, and I think that's that patient-centered care thing. And the advantage in primary care, so if you're in primary care for any length of time, you do get that continuity and you do get to know your patients fairly well, and you do know their next door neighbour, and you do know their children and their dog sometimes as well. So I think that is one of the advantages of primary care, and that is something that I would be promoting should be happening. So if we're thinking about what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing, what would you say are the pitfalls that healthcare professionals really need to avoid to achieve a really good asthma review?
Well, as you said, timeliness is a pitfall. Relationships is a pitfall, because I think most patients want to be understood, not in terms of their asthma, but in terms of what that asthma, the impact that asthma has on their lives and what they really want to do, you know, the important things in their lives, and to be given the equipment to be able to manage the next, I mean, it's an annual review, theoretically, manage the next 12 months, knowing that they're going forward in the best way for them, I think. I mean, I certainly don't think as a result of an annual asthma review I've ever had an action plan, for instance.
It sounds like that's what's missing from because those elements that you're describing around what can you do, what should you be able to do, when do you recognize things aren't as good as they should be, and what do you do about it, are all the components of a personalized asthma action plan. And I often see them just printed off the computer with the patient's name and their medication, and that's all. But that isn't personalised. So I mean, I remember having a patient, we were doing a personalised asthma action plan. And when I said to the patient, okay, so they tend to be green, amber and red. So the green section's life's good. This is the medication you take to achieve that. This is where you should be. Amber is that warning sign that things are starting to deteriorate, and red is the you're in trouble, you need to do something about this. And I remember talking to her and saying, okay, so that the action plan talks about symptoms of your asthma. How do you recognize when things are going off? And she said, when I walk my dog, when I'm in your green zone, I can walk all the way around the fields, whatever the weather, I can be gone for half an hour. If I don't take my phone, it doesn't worry me, although I did advise her to take her phone in case she fell and broke her ankle. But it didn't worry her, she felt confident. She said when she goes into the amber zone, she knows that she has to have her phone and a blue inhaler with her because she knows it might kick her off. She knows that she can't do a full lap of the field that she usually walks around, so she does just a half lap, and she only walks the dog once a day instead of twice a day. And she said when she's in the red zone, the dog doesn't get a walk. So for her, that was very personal, and that's what we wrote that on her asthma plan, on her action plan. And that isn't for everybody, that isn't the same for everybody, but it is about, as you say, recognizing what you can do, recognizing easily when things go wrong. And some people will be recording a peak flow regularly, some will not, that lady clearly wasn't. And then telling somebody or advising somebody of what to do when things go wrong, who to contact, when to contact, how to contact. And it sounds to me as if you have one of those, things would be a lot better for you.
Well, I don't want to make it sound like life's miserable for me. My life's wonderful for me. I manage very well and can do everything. But I think it would be good, partially because although I've lived with asthma all my life, and I think I recognize things fairly well as what I can do and what I can't do. And, you know, when I have an exacerbation, there's a feeling within me that says, hello, have you thought about this? Mm-hmm. But my husband does, you know, although we've been married a long time, he does get more jittery. And so I think as much as anything, that action plan would be for whoever is living with you too.
Yeah, absolutely. And we think of that with children. So we think about with children, you know, we've got to think about parents, and with people that rely on carers, then we think about carers. But we don't think about the majority of our patients that, as like you say, that get on with life pretty well and then may get a hiccup every now and then, and that scares everybody around them. So you can share that plan with those people around them. So it reassures them that you're doing the right thing. And if they decide they want to take control because you're not, they know what to do. So what would you say? So we talked about timeliness. We've talked about treating you as a person, not just looking at the computer, actually look up at our patients. Most of them are really nice. It's nice to have a conversation with them. What would you say healthcare professionals absolutely, what's the one thing they absolutely should do in an asthma review to make it worthwhile and an experience that you would value?
Give me feedback at the time. That's as that would make me feel, okay. Tick that box. You know, I've come in, I've sorted myself out, or in the case of this virtual review I did, something that comes back immediately and gives me a result in some way, explains to me if there's something I'm doing wrong, like, you know, the wrong inhaler technique, explains to me nicely, not like I'm a naughty child who's purposely done it wrong, but you know, explains to me how to do it, maybe gives me access to, say, a video or something so that I can check or you know, whatever's around. And basically I feel I've got the result I want at the time, so it's, you know, contemporaneous or whatever, but that I've maybe learned a little bit more about my condition or asthma as a whole, not necessarily my condition, but, you know, what something about what is cracking off, or if there's some bug going around at the moment that's I'm more likely to catch, or I mean, just give me some nugget that makes me think, yeah, you know what you're talking about. That was worth me coming in and talking to you about it.
I think that's really good advice. And I think that, again, that stems from the training and confidence of the healthcare and the competence of the healthcare professional that you're dealing with, doesn't it? I think when you think about other disease areas, so if you think about diabetes, when patients go in for their diabetes annual check, they do often go through a two-stage review. So it's often that data collection tick box bit, but then they see somebody that goes through everything with them in detail. And if things aren't right, tells them, you know, this isn't right, you need to do this. And likewise, if you go and have your blood pressure checked, if your blood pressure is not right, they don't just go, oh, well, there we go, never mind. You know, it's that feedback. It's that actually acting on the information that's gathered.
Yes.
I think that's been a really enlightening conversation. I think we just need to be more aware and considerate of the effect of what we're trying to deliver as healthcare on our patients. And I think we need to really consider the way we deliver that. So we need to think about being much more patient-centered, much more making it of value to the patient, them having given their time to come in for something which, you know, they're not unwell at the time. They don't necessarily need to be seen at that time, but it's making sure that interaction with healthcare is valuable and worthwhile and will make them consider it and, you know, coming back the next time. We have got a really good PCRS resource. So we've got an article called The Building Blocks of a Good Asthma Review in Adults. So that's available on the website. So that'll take you through some of what we've discussed, but not the sort of the depth of conversation that Amanda and I have had. I'd like to thank you, Amanda, for joining me in this podcast. I think it's going to be hugely valuable to the healthcare professionals that are listening. So thank you. And I'd like to thank you for listening. And we'll leave it at that. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If you know somebody that may be interested in this podcast that is yet to become a member of PCRS, please direct them to the PCRS website and take the first step into inspiring more respiratory leaders.